technically it probably would be better to not have a race every single weekend. But honestly, if that's what motivates you and that's fun for you, if you can afford it, like, why not?
That's just a key too. Well, we are back into the Coaching Corral, and joining me today in the Coaching Corral is Coach Greg. Coach Greg, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Excited to have you, and Coach Melody. Coach Melody, welcome back to the Coaching Corral.
Hi, happy to be here.
We got such great feedback from the first two episodes. I'm really excited about this one, and today we're going to talk about racing and how you think about your year-long racing calendar, how you work with your athletes to maybe help them select those A races. Sometimes they could probably come to you with A races that they want to do, how you think about that, how you plan them out, how you work in B races, maybe even C races. Is there such a thing as too much racing, not enough racing? So we'll hit all of those topics. But I thought we'd start first with A races. I think that's usually where our athletes start. They've got this race in mind that they want to either run for the first time or get redemption at. So I want to start this week with you, Coach Greg. How are your athletes coming to you relative to, you know, those big races that they want to do?
Yeah, so ideally, it's this scenario where we have a goal race where we're months out and we can plan and build accordingly. And I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think that's not usually the case, but sometimes preferably that is the case. So you definitely want to work backwards from that A race. So say you have a 100 miler coming in October, and this is the race you want to do well. So you would structure ideally your entire year around it. Thinking about you would break that the time that we have in between the goal race and where we are now in the cycles, you know. So maybe you have a build phase. We're working on just base, building up the volume, and then fundamentals and sharpening, where say that October race is very technical, it's very rocky, or it's very hilly. And then we would have a phase where we work specifically to get you ready for that terrain. And then there'd probably be I guess the sharpening phase, where maybe we stop the base build and we add some specific speed work where, you know, even if it's 100K or 100 mile, everyone can still benefit from speed work. So, and I conflate that with intensity. So not just slow running. And then we did that in the base phase as well. And then we would just time it where we peak for that race. So ideally you would have time where you could do those cycles more than once, because obviously you don't want to sharpen for 8 weeks. It's a good way to burn out. So ideally give yourself enough time to put yourself through more than one of those cycles. And I'm sure we'll get to this later. So I don't want to steal your question, but we talk about tune-up races when we get into the B and C races. But give yourself enough time where you can build up gradually in that base phase, and then give yourself enough time to build specifically for that race to get your body and your mind ready for the specifics of what you're going to be tackling.
I want to follow up with a question, because I think sometimes they come to you with a race in October and you're like, yep, got plenty of time. That race makes a lot of sense for you. There's also times where I think where athletes come to you with maybe a little bit too aggressive of an idea for a goal race. And Coach Greg, and we'll go to you here in a second, Melody, but Coach Greg, I'd love for it kind of follow up with you. If one of your athletes comes to you and you're like, this race is probably, you're probably not going to be ready for this one. You know, how do you work with your athletes on that?
And I think this is probably the scenario that happens more often, because not just trail runners, but and ultra runners. So, you know, there's a lot of races out there and there's a lot of FOMO, and you're like, oh, my friend is doing this race. You know, it's in 8 weeks. Can I get ready? And I'm probably a very bad person to bounce that off of. I'm just like, okay, we'll make it happen. But the important part is we're not going to cram, you know, we're not going to cram for anything. If we only have 8 weeks, we're not going to be able to shorten, you know, a base cycle and a fundamental cycle and a sharpen and peak all in 8 weeks. we were just built to where we can get you from A to B in that 8 week time that we have. And I say this a lot, it's just, it's better to go into the race undertrained, but healthy. So there's no benefit to, if we had 16 weeks, we would be at this volume 3 weeks out. We're not just going to skip to that as your goal before we taper. We just work up to what we can and stay healthy. And then you just go into it a bit undertrained. We never cram for a race. The training stays the same. It's just we're going to have to cut out some cycles, and knowing you're probably not going to be at the level of fitness that you want, but at least you'll be healthy when you toe the start line.
Yeah, that's some wisdom right there. Because I think a lot of times I have athletes that say, let's catch up, you know, let's accelerate, let's add more. And to your point, that's just a recipe for injury, overuse, things like that. Well, Coach Melody, let's go to you. How do you coach in your athletes when they come to you with an A race or goal race in mind? Or maybe they're looking to you for advice on, hey, let's pick an A race. What are some of the things you're coaching your athletes on?
For sure. Well, the very first thing that I like to go over, and this kind of depends on where you're at. Are you a brand new athlete? Have you been training for a long time? But I like to first talk about, how are you feeling physically and mentally? How is your body feeling? How is your mind feeling? Are you dealing with any niggles or any injuries that we need to address? Are you burnt out? Are you on the brink of burning out? And let's just talk about the injuries and things like that we need to address over this year. So I like to talk about that first. And then once we kind of figure out, okay, where are you at? What are your goals? Then we talk about, okay, what races do you want to do this year? And I always recommend, and this is a little bit of a stretch, I always recommend 1 to 4 races. 4 is a lot. 1 to 2 is probably better. So pick, you know, 1 to 4, 1 to 2 A races for the year. And I have some clients who love races. They love the experience of the races. They love the swag. And if you're one of those runners who loves to just get out and race, go to as many races as you want, but treat the races as part of your training. Don't race every single race. So if you just love to do races, don't feel like, oh man, I can only do one race a year. You know, sign up for races, but just treat them like training. And if you are one of those people where you know you're not going to be able to go to a race and slow down, maybe you probably shouldn't sign up for a lot of races. I have some athletes who I'm like, okay, we can do all these races, but just make sure you treat them like training runs, and they race every single time. And I'm like, oh, well, now we got to recover, you know? So anyways, so we pick our A races depending on, you know, what their goals are. Some athletes that I coach, they actually don't like races. They like doing self-supported or adventure runs. So we either pick the race or whatever the goal is. And once we pick the races, then we build the program. And I don't want to repeat everything that Greg said, but basically the same thing is we have the base phase, the specific phase, and then the taper period for each race. So base phase, you know, building up your mileage, progressing a little bit at a time. The specific phase where we start, you know, maybe the mileage plateaus out a little bit and we focus more on high intensity, more specific work, more tempo runs. And then taper period, 2 to 3 weeks where we kind of ramp down and get ready for the race. Yeah. And then I also want to mention giving yourself enough time for each race. You know, so a 5K to 10K, you want about 12 to 16-ish weeks. A half marathon or marathon, you want about 16 to 20 weeks. And for an ultra marathon, I always say about 20 to 24 weeks. And then just making sure that you space out all of your races. You don't want to put them too close together, so you have time to recover and then build back up for the next race. And I could keep going, but that's basically the basis of it.
Follow-up question on that, because I think sometimes, for me anyway, usually my A race is a destination. It's something like Black Canyon 100 is a great example, where that was a race I picked as an A race because, one, it was point-to-point. I definitely wanted to do something point-to-point. But two, it was Aravaipa. I knew it was a good race company. And also just kind of like seeing the videos and watching, you know, the people. I knew Greg had done it. And so how do you work with your athletes that maybe pick an A race that is a destination race and the terrain is going to be much different than what they're normally training on? How do you think about that? I'll stay with you, Melody.
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually, on the podcast, my husband and I do Trail to 100, we do like a runner's corner where people ask questions. And that was a question we just answered was this person, they live in Ohio and they said, we have no hills, but we signed up for the Bryce Canyon in Utah, which is like 50 miles, 6,000 to 8,000 feet of climbing. And so they're like, how do we train for this? And so this is my answer for people who are in a flat place and they sign up for a hilly race. So first of all, strength train like mad, strengthen up those quads and your legs so they're strong enough to go up the hills and also come down the hills. Next is find a treadmill that inclines, and you're going to spend a lot of time on that treadmill. It's not going to be super fun. Just know that the training is going to be a little bit more tedious since you don't have hills around you, but it's part of, strengthening your mind, mental toughness. Get a treadmill, crank it up as high as it will go. Maybe even try that with a weighted vest. If you can find hills in your area, again, this does not sound fun. This is super tedious, but find the biggest hill you can find, even if it's not that big, and go up and down that hill over and over and over again. Another thing that I heard, and this was from someone who was on our podcast a few weeks ago. He lives in a flat area, was training for the Leadville 100, and what he did, and maybe I shouldn't even bring this up because I haven't researched it or anything, but it worked for him. But what he did is he would run during the hottest part of the day, and then he would get in a thermal sleeping bag in his attic for 15 minutes after every run. And he said that there was some kind of physiological something that did that helped him adapt to the higher elevations. Maybe you know more about that, Greg, but
heat shock proteins.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you can kind of go into that more. But so that would be my advice if you're in a flat place looking to travel to a more hilly place.
Yeah, love that. And we'll go to Coach Greg now because you had this very scenario with me working through the Black Canyon, and weighted vest was part of what I did, trying to find some of that more rocky conditions. What are some of the things that you're coaching your athletes on as well?
Melly touched on a lot of it. You're just going to have to be creative with training. When you don't have access to the hills, you'll have to double down on the strength work. And, not a lot of people, not everyone loves a treadmill. I love my treadmill because I know I'd have no chance at some of the races I'm picking if I didn't have it. So, you're just going to have to sacrifice some of the fun. We don't have, we don't all have a 3-mile steady climb, but if your race has one, you're going to have to simulate that some way. And unfortunately, the easiest way to simulate a steady climb is get on the treadmill and grind it out. You can do hill repeats over and over, but it's just not going to simulate the sustained effort that you need. So yeah, I think we'll get into strength training on a future podcast, but definitely double down on what you have around you. And to Melody's point, training's not going to be as fun, but you'll be more ready for the races. And that I'm not going to get into the heat shock protein because I don't think I can speak expertly on it. But yeah, if you're going to be at altitude, get out in the middle of the day. And I've not heard of sleeping in a sauna blanket, although sauna after the run is some benefit as well. And that's one way you can mitigate some of the effects that you'll have at altitude. But that's probably a deeper dive that I'd have to look up and before we talk about it too much.
We'll do that on a future episode. We'll talk about heat training, elevation training, and all that. I think that'd be a good topic. So let's just say that someone's picked 2A races for their year. They're plotting that out on their calendar. Let's say optimally you've got enough time to train for those races. Let's say the first one's 6 months out, the next one's about 12 months out. I'm going to stay with you, Greg. Let's talk about B races. How do you coach your athletes to then kind of start to – and let's say it's an athlete that does like to race. How are you coaching them to kind of think about their B races?
Yes, and I love B races. It gives you – B races, I would equate to tune-up races. They're typically shorter. Obviously, you're not going to do 100K to train for 100K. But a shorter distance that'll help you get used or get ready for your goal race. One reason, you assess your fitness, see where you're at, test nutrition. It's mostly important to test nutrition, test gear. We all, I think we talked about this last time, we probably all don't feel the way we would. Ideally, we would feel the way we would race in a long run, but we don't always do that. So a tune-up race allows you to test your gear, test your race nutrition. And then when you finish, you debrief and you reassess like, oh, maybe my training's not where it needs to be, or I need more calories and more intervals. So those are the biggest benefits for me. And a lot of times they're catered long runs. I like to plan the tune-up races around peak weeks. I think we may have talked about this last time, but I'm not on the higher mileage side as far as my methodology. So I would never have anyone do a 50K in training. But if we use that as a tune-up race, we can time it as their peak week. And then we take a harder recovery week after. So they recover from that and then bounce back into training. So ideally, we would time it around those peak weeks. And that way, there's really no interruption to training other than I did skip over a part for the B races. We're not doing a full taper, because then you would lose at least 1 week, probably two, if you're going to do a true taper before the race and then a 1 or possibly 2 week recovery. So you've lost a 4 months of training or 4 weeks of training outside of a B race that really wasn't that important to you other than testing some gear and nutrition. So I don't typically do a full taper. We may keep, you know, the beginning of the week the same, but we would just cut out a couple, 2 or 3 days before, just so you don't go into the race completely dead. Cause then it's not a really good baseline if we trash your body right before the race. So we just don't taper as we would for an A race. And that allows us to minimize the loss of the structured training. And you can just kind of bounce back into training when you're recovered.
Coach Melody, Coach Greg just took a lot of the good answers, but I want to go to you too in terms of how you're coaching your athletes. And for me too, I think about B races as, you know, there's those butterflies, that excitement around a race that you can't really replicate with a training run. So that's another thing I love about the B races. It sort of gets you into that racing mindset, and then, you know, helps you maybe calm those nerves that you might have, especially if the A race is your first race, which might first A race was my first real trail race. So Coach Melody, what are some of the things that you're doing in terms of coaching your athletes?
I mean, basically, I just want to say ditto to everything Greg said. Yeah. That's basically what I do. I did, I guess, a few things. You kind of mentioned the excitement around the B race. And I also wanted to mention that it's just less pressure than the A race, which makes it more fun too. It's like no pressure to perform perfectly. It's just part of the training. We're going to go in and have fun and practice some things and get some fun swag afterwards. You know, for our B races, we typically want it to be similar to the A race. So if you're doing, you know, a really climby trail race for your A race, you probably want a somewhat hilly trail race for your B race. Instead of doing like a road marathon or something, you want it to be similar to the A race. And I usually, for ultras, the B race, my kind of rule of thumb is to keep it about 6 weeks out from the A race. And that's basically it. And like I said, everything else Greg said, we don't taper before. Maybe we take a couple days off before the race, so you're not completely dead. I usually make the B race, I like to do 2 or 3 like big peak weeks, especially for ultra runs. So we'll usually put the B race in one of those peak weeks.
Makes a ton of sense. That's great. So let's say you've got your A race set. Now you've got your B races sprinkled in based on y'all's feedback. Let's talk about C races. And let's start with someone that just loves to race. Greg and I know a lot of folks that they want to be at every race, every weekend. How are you coaching your athletes there? And I'll stay with you, Melody. How someone that really likes to race a lot, how are you coaching them?
Yeah, so C races. A race is your number one goal. B race is to get you ready for A race. C race is just a part of your training. So, I mean, honestly, you technically can do as many C races as you want. I have a couple clients who, like I said, they love races. So that they're at a race every single weekend. They're traveling to races. And, you know, sometimes I sign up for a 5K or a 10K and we just make it part of their plan. So maybe they go race their 5K and then we add 10 more miles so they can get their full long run in for the day. And we just work into the plan. It does make it a little extra tricky. I mean, technically, it probably would be better to not have a race every single weekend. But honestly, if that's what motivates you and that's fun for you, if you can afford it, like, why not?
That's a key too.
Right. Just treat it like a training run. You know, like, you want to be really careful to not compare yourself to the other runners at these races, because maybe this C race is someone else's A race and they've tapered for 3 weeks. But this is your third week of hard training and your legs aren't fresh at all. You're trying to stay in your zone two the entire time. You know, you just have to run your own race and be okay with, you know, letting people pass you. Just go for the experience. And like I mentioned before, if you're one of those people where you just know you cannot hold back, you just know that as soon as you get to that start line and the gun goes off, you're just going to take off and you're going to race every single race, you probably should just not sign up for very many races. But also, if you're one of those people, take this as an opportunity to train your mind and learn how to be okay with slowing down and letting people pass you.
That's really good word. And I want to go to you, Coach Craig. So it made me think of Kim Endo, who told me on the podcast, a big ass runner, she has a hard time with that. She wants to max out every race. So how are you working with folks like Kim who want to race a lot, but tend to really push it?
Yeah. So Kim is actually, she's already thinking ahead to races in 2024, which I applaud her. And that way you know, she's very competitive and she wants to do well. So it's hard for her to hold back. And I think she recognized that in herself. So I mean, I can't think past July, but she's already thinking about 2024. So spreading out both goals on the trail, like ultra, building up longer distances. And she still wants to be fast on the road. So half PRs, another BQ. So yeah, definitely think really far ahead if you know that you just can't hold back. Now, on the other part, if we're lucky to have a really strong trail community here with a lot of races, and you can get away with racing, well, not get away with it, but you can race every weekend, and it's hard to miss out on the parties, especially when you know all your friends are going to be there. So the C races, you treat them like Melody said, there's no taper at all. I have athletes that like, we'll treat them as catered long runs, very expensive catered long runs because you're still paying for the race. But gives you a chance to run with friends and get in maybe on a trail that you would normally not be able to get out to, and then get in a long run. And if it's a shorter run, or say you want to run a fun 5K with friends, then, you know, we're going to either tack on miles before, especially if it's on your long run day before or after. And we've done that. And then we've tacked on strength training. If, you know, if you're running a road race and you're training for trails, then add some stability work, some trail specific strength. So you're just going to have to add on to whatever, add on to that race just to simulate what we would have done ideally if you didn't have that race. So the C races can still be productive. Just got to be creative.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of goes back to something we talked about in the last episode around pacing and crewing, is planning ahead and having a plan. And I think that's super, super important. So once you've established what those A races are, and then you figured out those B races that are hit those peak weeks, and then you work in those C races that you know you want to go to, as long as you have that plan, then hopefully that will work out. Well, this has been awesome. Wisdom nuggets were thrown out everywhere. Any final thoughts before we wrap up? We'll start with you, Coach Melody.
Honestly, the thought that comes to my head is get a coach. If you're listening to this podcast and you're feeling really overwhelmed and you're like, A race, C race, like how do I taper? When is my specific weeks? Like, get a coach, even if it's just for a little bit, so you can learn and you can just have someone help you balance this out and teach you. I think it's so helpful to have someone to build this plan for you and kind of teach you how to do it.
That's great. Yeah. Let the coach do the thinking and the planning for you, working with the athletes. That's a good word. What about you, Coach Greg?
You're going to be so tired from training. You need someone to think for you, right?
Clearly for you. Yeah.
She stole my last point, so it's fair now since I've been stealing some other ones. But yeah, even if you don't necessarily want to work with coach through your whole training cycle, I'm sure there's plenty that will do a one-time consult just to help you build out, okay, I want to get ready for this. How should I structure, like, say, the tune-up races? So just find someone, even if you don't want to pay for a coach, find some mentors. We all are part of trail running groups, and there's people that will talk to you for free. I'll talk to you for free. It just depends on how specific you get. But yeah, just find someone a little bit more experienced that can help you structure your weeks. And that way you're not left to your own devices on, oh, my friend's doing this. Let's just go ahead and do this race as well. So yeah, just think long term.
Yeah. And my first 50K at Bandera 2017, I met a couple of runners and they had a coach. I'm like, oh, wow, they must be elite. Coaches, we're here for everybody, everyday runner, just like you'd get golf lessons. You just need someone that can help you navigate through all these decisions, all this training, probably not as expensive as you think. So Coach Greg, if someone wanted to reach out to you, how would they do that?
Easiest probably on Instagram, Ultra Ninja Runner without an E, and typically pretty responsive there. I think I have to update my link tree because it's not working, but you should be able to reach out to me there.
Come on, Coach Greg.
I know.
What about you, Melody?
Instagram is also the best way to find me. My handle is @thepinetreerunner.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. This series is so much fun. We've gotten such great feedback from everybody. So thank you both for stepping into the coaching corral. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Talk to you guys next week.
See you guys soon.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Coaching Corral. And did you know that you can find video versions of the Coaching Corral on YouTube? You go to youtube.com, search @JeffHarrell. You'll be able to find my YouTube channel. And I believe we've got two now posted on that YouTube channel with more to come. So you can see what Coach Greg, Coach Melody, and El Jefe here look like. I hope you enjoy that. Well, thanks again for listening. If you have topics that you want the coaches to tackle in the Coaching Corral, please send them in. We would love to cover them for you because this is all about providing value to the Big Ass Runner herd. So you can email me at jeff@bigassrunner.com. Well, with that, get out there, hit those trails. We'll see you next time.